What we're looking at this morning is we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is really divided up into kind of two halves. So the first half is kind of what we're going to be looking at this morning. This is Jesus getting or teaching his disciples and teaching the people around him the kind of foundation, the kind of just core principles of what he's building this entire Sermon on the Mount upon. So this goes from about 5 verses 1 through to about 17. And then following that, you have the second half of the sermon, which Jesus explains, okay, so you have this foundation now. You have this core understanding of the kingdom of God. Now, these are the kind of things, what it means to live a holy life, how to interact with this, how to build upon this foundation that I have already set for you. So that's where we're kind of at this morning. So let us start then by reading chapter 5, verses 1, and we'll be going through verse 12. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside, probably more or less a hillside, and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you." This is the word of the Lord. There's something that I think we need to understand, and it's something that I think many of us have forgotten, or at least contemporary culture has forgotten, and definitely many people in the contemporary kind of Christian circles have forgotten. And that's the simple idea that the experiences of God and the space around us are by no means limited to the biblical record. Experiences of God are by no means limited to the biblical times. You see, there are millions of people all around the world who have experienced God, who have had manifestations of God in their life in some way, shape, or form. And there are people here this morning in this congregation who have also had these manifestations of God take place in their lives. Now, sometimes, you know, these are those big visual experiences that people talk about. These big things where they see all these things happening and they just kind of are in dreams or something like this, that the presence of God is just made known to them in kind of this miraculous way. But many a times, it's just in the simple, mundane things of our lives. For some of us, it's in those times of pain when we just feel God's peace in our lives. For other of us, these experiences of God's were amidst all the chaos that the world kind of feeds at us. It's feeling God's comfort. And for many other of us, it's amidst kind of the kind of hysteria of our own personal lives in this cold and cruel world, it's feeling God's warmth. And other times for us, it's just experiencing God's kingdom or seeing God's kingdom in different aspects of culture, when things of old were transformed into these new things. Now, the only thing I'm just trying to highlight to you this morning is a simple fact that Christ the Lord lives today, and the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is by no means cut off from the life that you are presently living. You see, this all sort of began when this Nazarite came into Galilee, and he came in proclaiming this basic message. He came in and he said, you know, all the preliminaries have been taken care of. And now the kingdom of God is accessible to everybody. He came in and he said, review your plans for living and base your life on this new, remarkable opportunity that is before you. You see, Jesus' message was continual throughout his times. It was always, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus was saying, renew your life, reevaluate your life, start to look at your life again. Give up the kingdoms that you are establishing. Give up these things in your life that are controlling you and just give them over to God. He's saying, come and participate in this kingdom. Come and participate in this kind of movement that is taking place. Come participate in the establishment of this new order that's happening. So with this declaration by Jesus, I mean, why would we be kind of looking at the Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes this morning? I mean, the Beatitudes, there's those types of scripture, you know, that you kind of nail to these wooden plaques. They have this gold plate and the black writing. There's something that you just kind of hang on your wall. There's something that lots of people kind of meditate over, lots of people pray over, but never, many times, never know what's kind of going on. It's one of those things where you see people praying, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are these things. But what does this mean in our lives? So this morning we're going to evaluate kind of what Jesus means by all this and what the Beatitudes have to do with repentance and what the Beatitudes have to do with the kingdom of God. Now, unfortunately, some of you are probably sitting here this morning and thinking to yourself that you're totally guilt-ridden by the words that you have just read. Some of you probably may even feel a bit burdened by all the words that you have just heard this morning. You know, you may be thinking to yourself, you know what? I am not poor in spirit. You know, I am not meek. I'm barely merciful. And I am never going to be persecuted. I don't plan on putting myself out there to be persecuted at any time. And you know, you feel guilt-ridden by this because you think of all these things that you have to do and all the things that Jesus is kind of getting after you to do, right? But before we conclude too much this morning, before we think too far ahead, let's first evaluate the way Jesus taught and the way Jesus taught at the Sermon on the Mount. And maybe we can kind of bring to fruition a new kind of understanding of what this kind of scripture is all about. You see, when Jesus taught, he taught in a very concrete form. You know, Jesus, it wasn't all about teaching by imparting you with all types of knowledge. It wasn't about filling your head with all types of facts. You know, it was much different than a modern high school teacher, and it's much different than a kind of a college science prof, you know, who just tries to fill your head with all this different type of information. To Jesus, it was much less about all the information. It was much more about how does this impact my life? What does this mean? What changes am I going to make to my own life? So when the Jews kind of gather around to hear rabbis speak, when they'd come to hear these great rabbis like Jesus, they'd come and they'd gather. And they wouldn't bring their kind of pens and paper with them. They wouldn't bring their laptop computers. They wouldn't bring their voice recorders. They'd bring themselves. They'd sit there and they'd hear the words of the rabbi speaking to them. And they'd be teaching them, maybe thinking the whole time and meditating, how is this going to change the way I live my life now? How do I change in this new kind of setting that's happening? What does this mean for me now? So you see, there's a huge disconnect between the way we teach and the way we interact with learning. I mean, there's many college kids here for sure, and some of them probably have gone off, you know, and some maybe studying philosophy and studying all these other things. And you know, you go to school all this time and you learn all this stuff, and then you start taking kind of advanced ethic courses and all this sort of thing, and you learn about Aristotle and you learn about the virtues and you learn about temperance and you learn about prudence and you learn all these types of things. But yet on Friday nights you still just kind of go to the bars and harass people around you. It doesn't connect with you. It doesn't actually change the way that you're living your life. And you see, Jesus, what he did, Jesus, to kind of break through this kind of barrier, when he taught, he would teach and he would apply his teachings to the actual lives of the people who were around them. He would teach using concrete examples of the things that were happening in the space around him. So when we come to the Sermon on the Mount, what we really have to do first is we have to understand what this setting was that Jesus was establishing, what setting he was in, who was around, And in order to do that, we need to first go to chapter 4, starting at verse 23 through 25. And this is the few verses that lead right up to the Sermon on the Mount. And it reads this. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, theirs is the Jews, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those who were suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, which is like the 10 cities that are around the area, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan, all of them followed Jesus. You see, what we have here is we have Jesus proclaiming his basic fundamental message. We say, see, Jesus saying, the kingdom of God is here. And how does he do this? He applies this into the actual lives of all the people who are around him. The sick were being healed. The paralyzed were being able to walk. Those struggling with depression or other things were having these cares taken away. Those who were weary were finding rest. And so Jesus, teaching in this manner, what does he do when he comes to the Sermon on the Mount? He walks up on the hill, and then he gathers, his kind of disciples gather towards him. And all the people who are around him, all these large crowds are before him as well, who he's just taught with and who he has just healed. And then he begins to teach the Sermon on the Mount. And he starts off and he says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Essentially what Jesus is saying with these crowds around him is, blessed is this guy right there. Blessed is that guy who no one seemed to care about. Blessed is that guy right there who thought that God did not care about him. Blessed is this guy right here who's been downtrodden, who's been stepped over, who's been walked over his entire life. Jesus is saying, blessed is him because the kingdom of God is here and the kingdom of God has begun to work redemptively in his life. See all the joy that this man has. See all the joy that was going around. You see, standing around Jesus were people with no spiritual qualifications whatsoever. Standing around Jesus were the disciples, who of course, as many of us know, were just average workers. And if we know the relationship between rabbis and teachers, the disciples were likely no more than the age of 18. And we see then, around them are all the people who kind of gathered, the sick, the depressed, all these people. And so there was no one there with much, anything really to offer, was there? So in that context, with knowing that setting, what does Jesus not teaching this morning? What is Jesus not saying to us this morning? Jesus is not saying that you need to go out and you need to become poor in spirit in order that you can be blessed. Jesus is not saying, you know what, you got to go out and you got to be persecuted in order that you can be blessed. It's when we do this, when we think like this, all we do is we establish another barrier that's just keeping us from the simple message that's in the text. All we are doing is we're establishing another wall. All we do is we build another legalism, another thing that, you know, these are all the things I have to do, and these are all the things that I have to become in order that we can be blessed. And that is not the simple message of Christ. Christ's simple message this morning, his simple message to us, was him saying, those who are poor in spirit are called blessed, not because of their meritorious positions, not because of all the good things that they have done in their lives, but in spite of and in the midst of their hopeless conditions, in the midst of their deplorable conditions, the kingdom of God has come upon them, and the kingdom of God has begun to work redemptively in their lives. You see, the fundamental message of the Sermon on the Mount, specifically this first half of the Beatitude, is of the free availability of God's kingdom to all of humanity. It's God meeting the people in their hopeless conditions and them receiving God's provision in their lives. It's them accepting Christ in their own lives. And you know, this is not disconnected from today. Others, there's many people who have been healed from things that, you know what, they probably shouldn't have been healed from this time. I know in my own life, there's been a healing that took place that probably should not have happened. And the kingdom of God is all around us. I know last summer, I was working in Cyprus with the Back to God Hour. And it was there that I met this man by the name of Romney. Now, Romney, he was born and raised in Egypt, and he lived south of Cairo. And at the age of 21, that's when God came into Romney's life and began to work redemptively. The kingdom of God began to work redemptively in Romney's life. Now, Romney was born and raised in a Muslim household, and there became kind of conflicts that were going on with his immediate family. And eventually, they kicked him out of the house. And eventually, his extended family even started to persecute him. So what did he do? They forced him out. They made him flee Egypt. They made him flee to Cyprus. And he lives on this kind of farm there now. And that's where I met Romney. When I was working with the Back to God, what we'd do is we'd go out and we'd do different Bible studies sort of around the different villages in Cyprus. And I remember coming up to Romney's house, which was, you know, just one of those kind of shack houses that you see with the tin roofs. And all of you probably know what I'm talking about if you've seen something like it before. And I remember Romney greeting me at the door and saying, you know what, come on in, come on in. And I was like, oh, okay. And he said, sit down, you know, and he puts me in this fairly decent chair, kind of the nicest one there. And he passed me a can of Coke. And I'm thinking, you know what, this is great, you know, this is pretty good stuff. And then I remember Romney going over and opening up another can of Coke. And I remember seeing him split it between his six fellow workers who were there for the Bible study because he couldn't afford a can of Coke that he could share with everybody. But what I remember most about this fellow, Romney, was the face that he had, the joy, the love, and the hope that just poured out of him, that just bled out of him. And you know, if Jesus was in that place teaching the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would have began teaching. He would have said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He would have said, blessed is Romney, because in spite of his deplorable condition, in spite of being kicked out by his family, in spite of being persecuted, in spite of living in poverty and working too long of hours, in spite of all this, the kingdom of God has come to you, Romney, and began to work redemptively in your life. Look at the joy. Look at the hope. Look at the love that spills forth from this man. And you know, that's Jesus' simple message to us this morning. Jesus is simply saying to us, he's saying, blessed are you this morning who are rat upon, you people who are spat upon, you people who are weeping. He's saying, blessed are you, for the kingdom of God is here for you this morning. Come in and find rest. Jesus Christ is saying to you this morning, he's saying, blessed are you who have been through some rocky divorces. Blessed are you whose mates have kind of left you. Blessed are you, for the kingdom of God is here for you. Come in. Find rest. Find peace. Learn. Live. Love. Come and lay your burdens at my feet. Jesus, this morning, is saying to you who have lost somebody dear to you, who has lost somebody so dear to you that you barely think that you can continue going on, Jesus is coming to you and he's saying, the kingdom of God is here for you. Take those burdens in your life and give them over. The kingdom of God is here for you today. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. He says, blessed you who are shy, you who are quiet, you who feel like you're continually being trampled upon by the world. He says, blessed are you because the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not have want. He says, blessed are you here this morning who thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you this morning who are out seeking God's justice, who want things to be the way God intended them to be. He says, blessed are you because the old is being transformed into the new. And that human life that seems so insignificant is proving to be of great value and of great worth. Jesus is saying to us this morning and saying to you this morning, he's saying, blessed are you who are pure in heart. He says, blessed are you who are perfectionist. Blessed are you who think that things will never be good enough. Blessed are you who think that you know you yourselves are never good enough. Blessed are you this morning because when you will see God. And when you do see God, this kind of longing that you've had your whole life, this emptiness that you've had, this thing that you have been searching for all your life will finally be filled. The pains that you have gone for will finally be solved and met. And you see, this is the principal message of what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount. He's coming to you and he's saying, I meet you where you are, and blessed are you who are hurting. Blessed are you who are suffering. I've come to you exactly in the place that you're at. And so, but the amazing thing about this kind of Sermon on the Mount, or the intro part that Jesus taught, is he goes on from this, doesn't he? He comes out and he says all these blessings, but then he continues on in his teaching. And as we go through and we start at verse 13, he has his disciples with him, right? And he has all these people who is, he's these large crowds. And he begins to teach them and he says, you know, it's you who are the salt of the earth. He says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be trampled on and thrown out by men. Jesus says to them, he says, it's you who are the light of the world. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus looked at all these people and he said who are in front of him and stuff, and he says, you know, you are the light of the world, you who are paralyzed, you who are leopards, you who are suffering, you young workers who just got pulled out of this kind of routineness of your life. He says, you are the light of the world. And Jesus says the same thing to us this morning. It's you who are the salt of the earth. It's you who's going to go out and penetrate the earth, purify the earth. It's you who's the light of the world. It's you who's going to go out and bring light, bring hope, bring love, bring justice into the world. It's you who's going to illuminate these dark places in our world. It's you who can go out and do these things because you have the assurance of Jesus Christ and you have him giving you these blessings and you see God's kingdom working in your own life. And it's because of this we can go out, isn't it? You can go out to those who are suffering. You can go out to the ill. You can go out to the downtrodden, the confused, you know, those people who are overemployed, those people who are underemployed, the terminally ill, the people who have HIV positive, the people with herpes, these kinds, the people who are out there just searching for something in their lives that have balance, or that has something. People who are out there searching for anything on what it means to kind of fill this void that they have in their lives. And Jesus tells us that it's us who's the light of the world. It's us who's to go out and shine the light into these dark areas, into these dark places, who's to bring peace and love and joy. So Jesus' basic message this morning for us, right? It's blessed are the poor in spirit. It's blessed are you here, you who are downtrodden, you who are suffering, you who are broken, you who are weary. Blessed are you, for the kingdom of God is here for you. He's saying, come in, find rest. Come in, take your burdens, and take on the yoke of Christ, and find rest in him. Take these things that have been weighing you down for too long, and lay them at the foot of Christ. It's there that you can find this Christian freedom, and you can know what it is to live and dwell within the kingdom of God. If there's one thing that I can say that we need to remember as we leave from this text this morning, and this kind of thing, when Jesus teaches, the question of the Sermon on the Mount, the question that he's asking is not what's going to happen when all hell breaks loose in this world. You see, Jesus' fundamental question for us this morning is what happens when all heaven breaks loose? And what does that mean in your own life? What does that mean when heaven breaks loose in your own life, when the kingdom of God is established and begins to move in your own life? And he's simply saying to us, let's go and let's bring pieces of this heaven. Let's bring this to other people we know, the people that we care about, the people that we love. Let's fill the earth with this joy. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we come before you this morning, thanking you for all the blessings that you have given us, Lord, for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to come in and dwell in your kingdom, to come in and experience this Christian freedom that you talk about so often. We thank you for taking away our burdens, Lord. We thank you for removing the guilt in our lives that we've carried around with us for so long. We thank you for sending your Son into this world, Lord. We thank you for reconciling ourselves, this whole creation, to you, Lord. Send your Spirit into us that we can leave this place and we can go out and we can be the light that shines in the darkness, that we can bring pieces of heaven to the different areas in our lives and to the people who are all around us. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen.